Thank you, and good morning, and welcome once again to another radio program from the Independence Baptist Church of Forestell, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning, and it is our prayer to be a blessing to you, and we trust that you're getting ready to go to church, and that you'll come to the services at the Independence Baptist Church of Forestell, Missouri. Our Sunday school begins this morning at 10 o'clock, and you're welcome to come, and trust that you will. Our preaching service begins this morning at 11, and then tonight we meet at 4 o'clock to worship the Lord again in our evening services. And our Wednesday night services are at 7 o'clock. And so we invite you to come and trust that you will. And we know that you'll receive a blessing from being in the house of God. For the past few Sunday mornings, we've been speaking about the Bible doctrine of the eternal security of the believer. We'd like to continue that this morning in thinking about this part of the subject. What is the purpose for the doctrine of eternal security of the believer? The purpose. Why is it that God has, in His own marvelous grace and majesty, given us the knowledge that we're saved eternally? Let's look at the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. The Bible said here in verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That is, Father God. This verse is teaching us why we've been saved. We have not been saved in order to live a life of fear. And I know a lot of people, as they say that they're saved, and their religion teaches them that once they're saved, they've got to really live right and do everything right. If they don't, then they'll lose their salvation, wind up damned in hell. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we have received the spirit of adoption, that is, being adopted into the family of God through salvation. Why? In order that we might be able to cry, Abba, Father. In other words, God has given us a knowledge of our eternal security so that we would live in absolute peace. That we would have a heavenly hope, as the Bible talks about the hope of the believer. Not a false hope, not a hope that you just hope in the flesh that it'll come to pass. But you're hoping, as you're reading the Word of God and knowing what God said is true, it is a sure hope. We can have confidence in Jesus Christ as we live our lives and all the circumstances that come upon us, in whatever happens, that we can have full assurance that He's with us. Look in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. The book of Colossians, chapter 2, in verse 1, Paul says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasuries of wisdom and knowledge." Paul says to these Colossian brethren, he wants them to have absolute, total, full assurance of the things that God has for them and the things that they have in Him. Look in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 12. Paul had been run through the mill because his life was not an easy life. He'd been cast in jail. He'd been left for dead, been beaten, been hated and despised. In verse 12, Paul says this, 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." I want you to see here that Paul's confidence in the Lord did not cause him to go out and begin sinning. But Paul's confidence in his eternal salvation gave him such assurance that he could live, he could do what God wanted him to do. I know I've heard people say, well, you know, if I believe the doctrine of eternal security, I'd just go out and sin all I wanted to. When you hear someone say that, you can know that they are probably not saved. And one thing for dead sure, they don't have any assurance of their salvation. But let me tell you this. People that are saved, they not only sin all they want to, but people that are truly saved sin more than they want to. They don't want to sin at all. People that are saved have such a heavenly hope, and their desire would be to serve and obey God. And the sins that they sin are grievous to them. It's not a joy for them to sin, but rather it's a trouble altogether. That's just the way it is for those that are saved. Let me say this. What is the fruit of the Spirit? What is the fruit that the Spirit of God gives to the believer? If you would, look in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, begin reading in verse 22. And here the Bible says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Saved people will be filled, will be running over, will be filled with the Spirit of God. They don't want to go sin. That's the last thing on their mind, is wanting to go someplace and sin, when we're fully assured that we have eternal life. There comes into the heart of the believer that everlasting love of God. There comes a joy, not in themselves, but rather a joy in what God has done for them and what God is to them. There comes a peace. The purpose of eternal security. When a person knows that they have eternal life, they have a peace. And they know they're not going to lose their life. They're not going to lose their eternity. They're going to spend it with Jesus Christ, and they know it. There's long-suffering. And even though they go through trials and troubles and tribulations on this earth, they know in whom they have believed. And they know that when they die, oh, they shall be with Jesus Himself. And so death does not become that terrible chasm that men must cross through. Instead, that death becomes the shadow of the rock that they simply walk through. Walk means deliberately walking through with Jesus Christ. And He never leaves them, and He never forsakes them. The Bible said they have gentleness. The Bible said they become filled with goodness. They become filled with faith, meekness, and temperance. So that person that says, well, if I was saved, I'd just go sin all I want to, they don't know anything about the saving grace of God at all. Now let me show you something else. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, knowing that we're saved, knowing that we're kept by the power of God, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is, to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Whenever we know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that we believe in Jesus Christ, that He, by His own glorious grace, has saved us and cleansed us and washed us and made us whole, We have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace, and gentleness and goodness, and meekness and faith and temperance and all those things. And the Bible said that we draw near unto God. We have a true heart. Not a heart that is deceived by the works of righteousness of our flesh or by our minds, but it's a true heart. And we have full assurance of faith. And we can come unto the Lord Jesus Christ and speak to Him. We can worship Him because we know what He said is true. The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter 8, we read this scripture at the very beginning of this message this morning. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, He says, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." In other words, we have received from God salvation, but not only salvation, not only eternal life, but we have received at the hand of God Himself love, which we now know about. We have received joy, which now we know about and we can share with others because of what God has done for us. Look, we have not only received things for the next life, but we've received things that's good for this life. We can live. We can really begin to live and enjoy things down upon this earth because we know that we're saved eternally. We don't have to worry about doing something wrong. Although, when we do things wrong, when we do sin, we'll ask God to forgive us and then we can rest assured that He has. You see, we can go on and serve God and serve God and love Him more and more. And there's an unbounding limit to the measure of love we can have for God and He for us. There's an unlimited joy. There's an unlimited peace because a person knows that God has saved them. They're kept by the power of God. They're not kept by the things that they do, the things that they think, or by simply fulfilling the ordinances of their church. That's not how we're saved, by just fulfilling the ordinances of our church. That's not how we're kept. But we are kept by the power of God. Look again, the book of Hebrews chapter 13. The Bible said here in verse 6. Well, read verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We can live our lives serving God, and we can boldly say, "I know the Lord is my helper." I mean, that's a joy and that's a privilege. This morning, what about you? Do you know that you're saved? If you have doubts, read in the Bible and find out. Don't go by your feelings, but rather go by the facts of the precious Word of the living God. For that Word is the eternal Word, and that is the only way that you're really going to know. If you know that you're lost, it is our prayer that you would understand, that you would see that you are indeed lost, and that you would repent of your wickedness before God, that you would go to Him alone, recognizing that He is the one that must save you. Look to Him. Look to what He's done on the cross of Calvary. Don't trust anything except Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We see that our time has gone away from us again today. We appreciate you listening, and we invite you to come again to the services at the Independence Baptist Church and listen again next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, for another radio program. Thank you now for listening.